Today is indeed a historic day for our union. Last night, we reached a provisional agreement on the Commission's proposal to fully phase out Russian fossil fuels. We're turning that page, and we're turning it for good. This is the dawn of a new era, the era of Europe's full energy independence from Russia. Many believe this would be impossible. Well, the figures speak for themselves, and let me give you some. Today, Russian gas imports, so LNG and pipeline, are down from 45% at the beginning of the war.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, December the 4th, coming to you from Athens, Greece. Let's talk about some news. And before we get to our main news topics for the day, remember to like this video, share this video, and subscribe to this channel. Where else are you going to get the news and the first modern day Olympic stadium all in one broadcast? So let's talk about the big news stories. Russian President Vladimir Putin, he is in India. I believe his plane just landed an hour or two ago, and a big trip for the Russian president to India, where he will be meeting with Modi, and they are going to sign some very big deals, military deals, energy and trade deals. And this effectively blows apart Trump's narrative that India is ditching Russia. The exact opposite is happening. They're going to sign a submarine deal. They're going to sign a fighter jet manufacturing deal. And the oil cooperation continues. So Medvedev, he posted two very interesting statements on X. One post was about Russia and NATO, the Russia-NATO Council, and the other post was on the European Union seizing Russia's frozen assets. And let's start off with the post on the Russia-NATO Council. This is what he posted on the Russia-NATO Council. NATO squawked gleefully about killing off the Russia-NATO Council. I must admit, I share their excitement. NATO is our enemy. What council are we even talking about? There's only one way to deal with enemies. As Gorky put it, if the enemy doesn't surrender, he is destroyed. The Russia-NATO Council was put into effect in the 90s, and it effectively died in 2014, if we're going to be honest about it. The Maidan coup and Crimea pretty much ended the Russia-NATO Council, and Sikorsky, the foreign minister of Poland, thank you, USA, for blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. Sikorsky, he came out of a NATO foreign ministers meeting saying that that NATO CEO, Pinocchio Mark Rutte, had informed all of the foreign ministers in attendance that the cooperation with Russia is effectively over. So that is Medvedev's first post on X. And Medvedev's next post on X has to do with one of the big news stories for today, and that is the EU's push the EU's push to take the Russian frozen assets Ursula is determined to take those Russian frozen assets Medvedev posted on X. If the crazy EU does steal frozen Russian assets for a reparations loan, we may view it as a casus belli with all the relevant implications for Brussels and co. Then these funds may have to be returned, not in court, but as real reparations paid in kind by Russia's fallen foes. The crazy EU is what Medvedev says, the crazy EU. Taking Russia's frozen assets, disguising it as a reparations loan. So Ursula, she made a statement saying that the European Union is going to move forward with taking Russia's frozen assets, and they are trying to find some sort of a way to convince Belgium to agree to self-destruction in the name of the Green Goblin. That's right, Belgium. Destroy yourself for the Green Goblin's sake. It's a compelling argument. We've got tools. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's what Ursula is saying. That's what the EU, the European Commission, is saying. They're going to take the frozen assets, and they're going to find a way to convince Belgium to go along with the seizing of the Russian frozen assets. The EU also came out with an announcement. I believe Ursula herself came out with an announcement, very excited, very happy, that the EU has decided to remove all Russian energy from the European Union. And they are going to start with the new year, and it's going to be a phased approach. In the beginning of 2026, purchases of Russian energy, for example, purchases of Russian gas on the spot market, that'll be the first thing to be prohibited. And then as we approach 2027, the end of 2026, the beginning of 2027, all of the long-term contracts for gas and oil with Russia have to be ended. And this is the compromise that they found with Hungary and Slovakia, which have long-term contracts to purchase Russian energy. And so they're going to allow those contracts to last for another year. And then they're going to force Hungary and Slovakia, I imagine that's what's going to happen, to give up those contracts and to give up the Russian oil and gas. Hooray! Hooray! The European Union has phased out Russian energy. Good job, Ursula. Get ready for price increases, everybody. Hooray, good job. You're now dependent on the United States and only the United States, pretty much. Qatar and the United States. Norway pumps some energy into Europe as well. But yeah, it's a big accomplishment, getting rid of that cheap, dependable, reliable Russian energy, which will still find its way to Europe. It'll just be called Kazakhstan oil, refined in India, right? That's what's going to happen. But the price is going to definitely go up for all of us. Thank you, Ursula. So getting back to the seizing of Russia's frozen assets, Commission unveils $165 billion loan to Ukraine using Russian frozen assets. Is it $140 billion? Some days it's $140 billion. Other days it's $200 billion. Other days it's $300 billion. It fluctuates, right? It goes up and down. up and down. Now we're talking about 165 billion. Well, at least 165 billion reparations alone is what the commission is saying after this meeting that they had. I don't even know what these meetings are about anymore. All I know is that every week or so, every couple of days, the EU has a meeting about Ukraine. That's all I know. I don't know what they're calling these meetings, but they all get together and they all talk about Ukraine because that's all they care about, right? They couldn't care about the economies of the EU member states or anything else going on in the European Union. It's all about Ukraine. Well, we're talking about 165 billion euros. So that's obviously got their attention. So the reparations loan is part of a wider financial package worth up to 210 billion to keep Kiev's finances afloat for the coming years. The 165 billion reparations loan includes 25 billion of immobilized Russian state assets held in private bank accounts across the bloc, in addition to 140 billion held in the Euroclear Bank in Belgium. Ukraine's war chest is set to run bare in April. Within the reparations loan, 115 billion has been earmarked to finance Ukraine's defense industry, while 50 billion will cover Kiev's budgetary needs. The remaining 45 billion of the package will be used to repay a G7 loan to Ukraine from 2024. So it's 140 billion, they're saying, that is held at Euroclear. It's another 25 billion of Russian assets that are held with member states. That's my understanding of things. Not in Euroclear, but seized or frozen within various member states of the EU. And then they're tacking on a whole lot of other money for the military, for the Ukraine government, and to pay back a loan that was taken out in 2024. So they're actually going to pay back a 40 billion euro loan as well. Yeah, you know, the European Union, they've been dipping into the Russian frozen assets. I think it's becoming very, very clear what has been going on here and why they're panicking to get this money. No doubt about it. They were dipping into the Russian frozen assets. They may not have been dipping into the 140 billion. They took the interest. They definitely took the interest at Euroclear. But you know what part of the Russian frozen assets they've been dipping into? The part of the Russian frozen assets that were not in Euroclear and that were sitting in various banks or wherever in the EU, in other member states. That's what they've been dipping into. And so they want this money so that they can cover their positions. That's what's going on here. That's why they're panicking. That's why they're so desperate to get this money. This could be a huge scandal. This is my guess. This is my guess as to what's happening here. Because Euroclear saying the 140 is fine, right? The interest they've taken. So that's already questionable. That's going to be taken to court. No doubt about it. Russia's going to want that money back, the interest generated from the Russian frozen assets. But you have, according to this article, you have 25 billion of Russian frozen assets sitting outside of Belgium and Euroclear. I think that money's gone. If I had to take a guess, I would say that money's gone. And I think Ursula and co, they need to cover those positions. And you have a loan of 40 billion from 2024, which they need to pay back as well. So I think it's very clear what's going on. They're panicking, they're desperate, they need this money. Not so much for Ukraine, but I think they need the money in order to cover up the fact that they have already been dipping into these funds and they need to pay back various institutions, countries, and banks, and people, and whatnot. So that is the big announcement from Ursula, the two big announcements from Ursula and the European Commission. No more Russian energy, and we're going to try and find a way to convince Belgium to to green light the frozen assets. By the way, Belgium continues to say no, this is a bad idea. The ECB is saying this is a bad idea. Euroclear is saying this is a bad idea. Belgium is saying no, this is a bad idea. I think Ursula is going to just plow through with it. That's what I think is going to happen at the end of the day. I think she's going to ignore the ECB. She's going to ignore Euroclear. She's going to ignore Belgium. And she's going to come out and say, you know what? EU law takes precedence, supersedes local member state law. And so we don't care what you say, Mr. Prime Minister of Belgium. What's the dude's name? De Wever? Bart De Wever? One second. Yeah, Bart De Wever. I don't care what you say, Mr. De Wever. We're in tatters. We need the money. So we're taking it. That's what I think is going to happen at the end of the day. And if I'm right, I might be wrong, but if I'm right, then we're going to see a big meltdown. Big time meltdown in the EU. So the Atlantic is talking about Germany's new war machine. Germany is building a war machine, according to the Atlantic, and they're building this war machine so that they could take on Russia. That's right. Germany building their war machine to take on Russia. Now, yeah, a lot of this is part of the grift, right? Keep the money flowing, especially to the MIC and to the political elite, BlackRock Mertz. But I think we need to be worried, right? Because the more they talk about it, and the more they go on and on about some sort of a conflict with Russia and how we're going to build Germany's new war machine to take on Russia, the more likely that these people are going to actually be crazy enough to do it. The Atlantic had an article with the title, "The New German War Machine." After World War II, Germany embraced pacifism as a form of atonement. Now the country is arming itself. There you go. It embraced pacifism. I can barely read because of the rain. Did I read that correctly? Yeah. Pacifism as a form of atonement. Now the country is arming itself again. Again. They're arming themselves again. Yeah, that's not going to work out well for Germany and for Europe. We know what Putin thinks about this. He said it yesterday. We're not looking for a conflict with Europe. We've said it 1,000 times that we're not going to invade Europe. We have no plans for a conflict with Europe or any invasion. But if they attack us, we're ready. And when all is said and done, we're not going to have anyone to negotiate with when it's over. So we already know what Putin said about this, but is anyone listening from the collective West in Germany? No, they are not. Well, the people of Germany are listening. The people of Germany are listening, and the AfD is without a doubt the number one party. I believe a poll came out yesterday or today, which showed that the AfD continues to surge and is without a doubt the number one party in Germany. And the opinion polls for BlackRock Merz, well, they are the lowest in history for a German chancellor. 76% of Germans disapprove of his policies. Warmongering clearly does not pay off. No, it does not. BlackRock Merz, very unpopular. Rightly so, deservedly so. Sticking with Germany, Bild is reporting that there are Ukrainian troops, 1,000 Ukrainian soldiers, 1,000 plus Ukrainian soldiers, trapped in Mirnograd. Pokrovsk, Mirnograd, These soldiers are trapped. Here we have Bild. Germany's Bild, one of the big-time Alensky cheerleaders. They are now admitting that Pokrovsk is lost and Ukraine soldiers are trapped. The title of Bild's article is Get Us Out of Here or Provide for Us. Let's cross. The rain is starting to come down here in Athens. Starting to get dark as well. So even Bild is admitting what is going on the front lines. Can't ignore it. You simply cannot ignore the Russian military's winning. As Vučić called it, they are stacking up victories. That's what Serbian leader Vučić said about the Russian military. They're stacking wins. And it's impossible for anyone that is living on planet Earth to ignore the fact that the Ukraine military is collapsing and the Russian military is winning and winning big. Even Bild is reporting that 1,000 men are trapped in a neighboring town of Pokrovsk. That neighboring town is Mirnograd. Pokrovsk is already captured. Mirnograd, you effectively have a cauldron in Mirnograd. So Kaya Kallas, stunning and brave, she is urging, she is demanding Armenia join Europe in sanctions against Russia. I believe that Armenia is going to have elections, parliamentary elections, I believe, in 2026, in the first half or the second quarter of 2026. And I believe Kaya Kallas even talked about the EU helping to provide some money for those elections. But Kaya Kallas's message is that Armenia, if it wants to be part of the EU family of losers, family of winners, sorry, did I say losers? If it wants to be part of the EU family of winners and values and human rights, then Armenia has to join the EU in sanctions against Russia. That's the message from Stunning and Brave. And when Stunning and Brave sends out these types of messages, it's very important for Pashinyan to listen and to comply. Unfortunately, Italy is not complying with Stunning and Brave, and Italy is not complying with Pinocchio Rutte. Italy is changing course. Go figure. And it looks like Italy is saying no to the NATO weapons program for Ukraine. This is the program where European countries purchase weapons from the United States on behalf of NATO, and then those weapons are given to Zelensky. And it looks like Italy is saying, yeah, we don't really want to spend our money for a conflict that is effectively lost. Let's walk this way. I need to get under some cover. So that's Italy. Finally waking up to reality, to the reality of the situation. Witkoff and Kushner are in the United States, and the reports are that today they are going to be meeting with Umerov, to brief Umerov on the discussions with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ushakov and Dmitriev in Moscow. Umerov is now the chief Ukraine negotiator, right? Taken over for Alibaba Yermak. Yermak had to resign because of of the corruption scandal. The reports are that he was not happy with Zelensky. You betrayed me, Zelensky. You're throwing me under the bus. Yes, I am, Andrei. Podolyak is now my number one. But Umerov, he's also implicated in all of this corruption, Nabu stuff, but never mind. He is now the chief negotiator, and Witkoff and Kushner are going to meet with Umerov in Florida, in Miami. Looks like Florida, Miami, has become the capital of U.S. diplomacy and foreign policy. CNN ran an article saying that Putin, he sent Trump's messengers packing. He sent them packing during the meeting in Moscow. Ah, that's CNN. I had the misfortune of having to read that article in CNN. And boy, was it an interesting article full of all kinds of misinformation. It talked about how Biden, under Biden, Ukraine was winning because of the super duper counteroffensive, not the 2023 counteroffensive. Ukraine was winning under Biden because of the Great Kherson offensive and then the Great Kharkov offensive. And CNN reported that tiny Ukraine was about to deliver a defeat to Russia, but then Trump came in and he ruined everything. That's what CNN wrote. Trump came in and ruined everything. And then the article goes on to say that Putin is taking advantage of Trump, and he's capitalizing on the fact that Trump is not Biden and he's not so interested in supporting Ukraine. And Witkoff and Kushner, they went to Moscow, and Putin's only goal was to send Trump's messengers packing. So Witkoff and Kushner were nothing more than messengers. Messengers and sitting down in a meeting with someone for 5 hours, he sat down, Putin, the Russian president, who has nothing else to do. I mean, let's be honest, right? He has all kinds of time to waste and time to spare, but he sat down with Kushner and with Witkoff for 5 hours, trying to figure out a way to send them packing. How do I get these guys out of the Kremlin? Putin is saying. Oh my God, we've been talking for 3 hours. How do I get rid of these guys? Oh man, we're on hour four and they're still here. How do I get rid of these guys? CNN, joke news, the joke news network, CNN. Oh boy. So we got some photos from Epstein Island that were released by the Democrats, photos and videos that they released onto the World Wide Web, the thing called the Internet. And the photos were of, I believe, the island was what, Little St. James? And they show the island, the property, how it resembles some sort of a resort. They show the rooms inside Epstein's compound. And some of the rooms were freaky, eyes wide shut, kind of weird. One of the rooms had a dental chair, a dentist's chair. And then it had a bunch of masks, like from Eyes Wide Shut type of masks on the wall. Another room had a chalkboard, a blackboard, with words like power or money. I forgot exactly the words that were on that chalkboard, but it was talking about power and money and stuff like that. And then they released a photo of a of a landline phone with speed dial numbers. I forgot the names of some of the people that were on the speed dial, but yeah, Epstein and Ghislaine had a landline phone with like five or six people on speed dial. So that was kind of interesting. I want to get back to Ukraine and the media. The media lies. My segue was CNN and their article on Putin sending the messengers packing, and that was going to be my segue to the collective West media lies on Ukraine. But because of the rain, I wasn't able to use my other free hand so that I could read you what the media was lying about just a year or two ago and how they are now revealing the truth. The Telegraph, let's start with them. Putin's catastrophic war has exposed Russia as a third-rate power. That's what the Telegraph posted a year or two ago. And just the other day, 2 days ago, the Telegraph posted an article, Putin is now in the driving seat. From catastrophic war, Putin's catastrophic war, to now he's in the driving seat. Okay. This is all courtesy of accounts on X and Telegram. So thank you to everyone that put these up on X and Telegram. After 20,000 losses, Russia is now functionally out of armored vehicles. That was 2023, I believe. The article a couple of days ago, Russia has more armored vehicles now than in 2022. Okay. Ukraine, Finland sign long-term security agreement. That's huge. Ukraine and Finland signed a security agreement. That's massive. Ukraine finally has the security guarantee that it has been looking for. This was actually an article from, I believe, 2023 or 2024. But big news for Zelensky back then, right? He got his security guarantee. Finland to the rescue. Today, the Prime Minister of Finland is not prepared to offer security guarantees to Ukraine. Oh, man. Yeah, Zelensky signed 30 plus security guarantees, right? 30 plus security guarantees is what Ukraine and Zelensky signed. Even with Biden, even with the United States, I remember that event where he signed the security guarantee with Biden, and Biden called Zelensky President Putin, I believe, right? And then he called Kamala Harris President Trump. Remember that event? That was like one of my best Clown World episodes ever, right? Biden had one of his classic mental meltdowns. But he did sign a security guarantee with Zelensky. And Zelensky signed security guarantees with all kinds of countries, including Finland. And then yesterday, the Prime Minister of Finland said, nah, we don't have any security guarantees with Ukraine. We don't have anything like that. Sure, we signed some sort of a security agreement, but, you know, it didn't mean anything. Oh, boy. It was all media spin. All of it was just optics and media spin. Just to provide cover for the Green Goblin. That's all it was. All those ceremonies, signing those agreements. And to help keep the Banderites off Zelensky's back, right? So the Banderites and people of Ukraine were seeing the Green Goblin sitting across the table from Biden or Duda or whatever, and he was signing all of these agreements, and everyone was very impressed. And they were all meaningless. And we said it at the time. We said that all these agreements are meaningless. They mean nothing. But it provided for a good show, good optics, and kept the Green Goblin in power. Anyway, let's do a Clown World and we can wrap up this video. And we'll start off with Macron on an official state visit to China. That's right. Little Napoleon with his wife, Brigitte. They are in China, official state visit, meeting with Xi Jinping. And the purpose of the meeting is twofold. The purpose number one is to restart European-Chinese trade relations, which have taken a hit. They're at a very low level, the relations between China and Europe. And so Macron's purpose is to restart the trade and the diplomacy between China and Europe. And purpose number two is, of course, Project Ukraine. Purpose number two is to try and get China to break away from Russia. And Macron actually said that, as he's in China, he said that he has called on Xi Jinping to agree to enforce, I believe he said, an energy no-fly zone, right? No air attacks or no attacks on energy infrastructure, I believe is what Macron is urging Xi Jinping to agree to, and therefore to pressure Russia to agree to it. But the clown world in all of this is Macron walking with Xi Jinping as they're walking by the Chinese military, right? And you can see that Macron is very, very Napoleonesque, Napoleonic. Is that even a word? I don't know. It's raining. It's raining. It's getting dark. I'm losing my concentration. But you know what? We're at some very cool sights. So yeah, Macron walking like Napoleon. Walking like Napoleon, Macron. Oh, man. All right, I think I'm done for today. I think I am done. No, I have one more clown world, actually. I do have one more clown world. 008, Keir Starmer. He has replied to Putin's statement about Russia being ready if it is attacked by NATO, by Europe. And 008, as expected, has taken a very tough stance against Putin, because 008 is tough, right? That's why he's tough and he's dynamic, adventurous, Keir Starmer, 008. He doesn't take crap from nobody, that Keir Starmer. Anyway, his office, 10 Downing Street, and Keir Starmer himself, their statement was that Putin's threats are nothing more than a claptrap. A claptrap. The British government dismissed on Wednesday Vladimir Putin's claim that Europe wants a war with Russia as Kremlin claptrap. That's Keir Starmer's response to the Russian president. All right, everyone, you know I'm in a very, very old, ancient part of Athens, to be quite honest. Probably one of the oldest parts of Athens. So we're going to end the video there, theduran.locals.com. We are on Rumble, Odyssey, Telegram, BitChute, Rockfin, we're everywhere. We're everywhere, and you can also check us out on Substack as well. So definitely check us out on Substack. Check us out on Locals. Go to the Duran Shop. Pick up some merch. And I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.